Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests.
What will you give me if I betray him to you?
They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus.
Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?
Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.
So the disciples did as Jesus directed them and prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12 while eating.
Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.
They became greatly distressed and began to ask him,
surely not I, Lord.
The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one to not have been born.
Surely not I, Rabbi.
You have said so.
While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples.
Take, eat, this is my body.
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them.
Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
You will all become deserters of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee.
Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you.
Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times.
Even though I must die with you, I will never deny you.
Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane.
Sit here while I go over there and pray.
He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated.
I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me.
Going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed.
My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want.
Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping.
So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak.
He went away for the second time.
My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.
Again he came and found him sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them, he went and prayed for a third time. Then he came back to the disciples.
Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.
Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign.
The one I kiss is the man. arrest him.
At once he came up to Jesus.
Greetings, Rabbi.
And kissed him.
Friend, do what you are here to do.
Then they laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear.
Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you not think I can appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must happen in this way? Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled.
Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and elders had gathered. Peter followed at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards to see how this would end. The chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward.
This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.
Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?
Jesus was silent.
I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God.
You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven.
Tearing his clothes.
He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?
Kill him.
They spat at him and slapped him in the face.
Prophesy to us, you Messiah, who is it that struck you?
Meanwhile, Peter was sitting in the courtyard. A servant girl saw him.
You also were with Jesus the Galilean.
I do not know what you are talking about.
When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him.
This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.
I do not know the man.
After a little while, a bystander came up.
Certainly, you are one of them, for your accent betrays you.
I do not know the man.
At that moment, the cock crowed, and Peter remembered.
Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
He went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders.
I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.
What is that to us? See to it yourself.
Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he went and hanged himself.
Taking the pieces of silver, it is not lawful to put this into the treasury, since it is blood money.
After conferring together, they used it to buy Potter's Field as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Thus was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah.
They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price set on a man's head, according to Israelite tradition, and gave them to the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me.
Jesus stood before the governor, Pilate.
Are you the king of the Jews?
You say so.
The chief priests and elders accused him, but he did not answer.
Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?
But he gave them no answer, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone who they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas.
Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas, or Jesus who is called the Messiah?
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him word.
Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him.
Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas to have Jesus killed.
Which of the two do you want me to release for you?
Barabbas.
Then what should I do with Jesus who is called the Messiah?
Crucify him.
Why? What evil has he done?
Crucify him.
So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd.
I am innocent of this man's blood. This is your doing.
Let his blood be on us and our children.
Pilate released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the governor's headquarters and gathered the whole cohort with him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns and a crown, put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him.
Hail, King of the Jews!
They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. They led him away to be crucified. And they went out. They came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. When they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. They sat down and kept watch over him. Over his head they put a charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads.
By who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days? Save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross.
The chief priests, scribes, and elders also mocked him.
He saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him if he wants to, for he said, I am God's son.
The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. About 3:00, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani,
which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of the bystanders heard it.
This man is calling for Elisha.
One of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink.
Let us wait and see whether Elisha will come to save him.
Then Jesus cried out loud with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and rocks were split. Tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified.
Truly, this man was God's son.
Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn from the rock. He rolled the great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before the Pilate.
Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and then tell the people he's been raised from the dead. And the last deception would be worse than the first.
You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can.
They went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone.
Before we move forward, I just want to share something with you all. I think one of the things in the story of Jesus' crucifixion that oftentimes we lose track of is just how much this is part of God's plan. What we know about Jesus' last words include his exclamation of, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I think for those of us, sometimes this is one of the more confusing pieces of that story. And I think though for those who are standing around listening to Jesus, those who were disciples, those who were believers, this one was rather crystal clear. We hear it and it sounds like the voice of a man who is in great suffering and misery and sorrow, which is true. But it's easy to forget that what Jesus is doing here is quoting a psalm. Not just any psalm, a prophetic psalm. A psalm that was written specifically about the Messiah. The 22nd psalm goes like this. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and I find no rest. You are the Holy One enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors put their trust in you, and you rescued them. They cry out to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not put to shame. But as for me, I am a worm. I'm not human. And this is where the psalm begins to be very important. I'm scorned by all, despised by the people. All who see me laugh at me to scorn. They curl their lips, they shake their heads. They say, trust in the Lord, let the Lord deliver. Let God rescue him if God so delights in him. Exactly the words people spoke at his cross. You are the one who drew me forth from my womb and kept me safe. On my mother's breast, I have entrusted to you ever since I was born. You were my God when I was still in my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help, as there was none. Many young bulls circle me, many bulls of Bashan surround me. The symbol of the regiment that crucified him was a bull. They open wide their jaws at me like slashing and roaring lions. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart within my breast is melting wax. This is an exactly accurate description of his death as a result of crucifixion and being pierced in the side. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust of death. Packs of dogs close by me. A band of evildoers circle round me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all the bones while they stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among them. For my clothing they cast lots. Exactly what was happening at the foot of the cross. But you, O Lord, be not far away. O my help, hasten to my aid. Deliver me from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of the wild bulls. You have rescued me. I will declare your name to my people in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, give praise. All of Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel. For the Lord does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty. Neither is the Lord's face hidden from them. But when they cry out, the Lord hears them. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God. For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over all nations. Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down and worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord. Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come. They shall proclaim God's deliverance to the people yet unborn, saying to them, the Lord has acted. That last phrase can also be translated, it is finished. Jesus is dying on the cross. He quotes a prophetic psalm that quite literally walks us step by step through exactly what is happening to him on the cross. God's plan that goes back centuries when this psalm was written. Jesus' death, his manner of death, not a bit of it was an accident, not a bit of it was incidental, and every last tiniest bit of it, down to casting lots for his clothing, was prophesied. And Jesus was the willing participant who served as our sacrifice. And he finishes this psalm. He begins the psalm by talking about how deeply weighted down he is with sorrow and misery. And he finishes the psalm by talking about how the Messiah is going to bring a renewal of life, food for the poor, hope for the hopeless, life for the dead, and that God's kingdom will reign forever. Even in his last breaths, Jesus is teaching us about what God's plan is for us. So next time you hear the last words of Jesus and we hear Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani come out of Jesus' mouth, and we wonder, my God, why have you forsaken me? What an odd thing for the Messiah to say. It's the exact thing the Messiah would say, because this is the very prophecy he came to fulfill.